Well, it's good to be back in this pulpit. I think it's been about 2 years, Kevin, since you've asked me to preach before. Time just flies. You might remember it different. I don't know. But I think it was 2 years ago. But I preach a lot. My job with the Minnesota-Wisconsin Baptist Convention usually takes me around to a lot of our churches. We have 150 churches in the Minnesota-Wisconsin Baptist Convention. And So I get to preach a lot, and I come back to my own church, which is here, and people don't even recognize me. Yesterday we had a men's breakfast, and so I was talking with one of the guys that was there, and he'd been attending here like 5 months already, and it was the first time I'd ever even seen him. So I get to be here about once a month. If I'm not careful, and if I don't lock that time out, I'm not even here once a month. So it's a real privilege to be here, not only on a once a month, but to actually get to preach. Thank you, Kevin. And I also want to thank you for something else. I know that it was an issue of timing because you were going to be gone and it worked really good, so you didn't have to worry about coming back to prepare the sermon. But I thank you that you gave me the one on godly manhood and you didn't ask me to do the one for next week on godly womanhood. All right, I appreciate that. I think I'm going to be praying for you, buddy, because, you know, it's one thing to talk about what we should do as men. It's another thing to talk about what you ladies should be like. I'm glad I don't have that one. But Kevin will do a good job next week on that. Again, it's a joy to be here. I got this picture here. I looked at it and I said, yeah, you know, that's what I want to be. I want to be a man who's praising God and can see God all over the place. And I thought, that's pretty fitting for this. And I just liked the picture. So, you know, I put it in the PowerPoint because it just says to me, guys, we are about praise. We are about worshiping God. But we are also about much more than that. It's more than just being God, with our relationship with God. It's about our relationship with other people. And so we want to talk about some of that this morning. Working with the Minnesota-Wisconsin Baptist Convention, I get to work with some of the greatest people there are. And one of those I really enjoy, Les Stevens, he's a pastor at Viola. And matter of fact, Brock, his son, plays the drums for us. If you don't know Les, he's also one of those guys that's barely ever here because he's got a job. He's pastoring another church in Viola. But Les sends out, hey Brock, tell him I said good things about him, not bad. But Les sends me an email every morning, and it's a quote. Any of you get Les's 1, 2, 3, 4? Okay, you guys know. Well, you'll remember that he sent this quote, if you read it anyway, you'll remember that he sent this quote. Now, Bob Lewis is a business guy, all right? I don't know if he's a Christian, but he is a businessman, and he has a consulting firm, and he writes some books, and he's consulting on business. Well, he wrote this, and he says, controls are about preventing problems, but preventing everything that might go wrong from going wrong doesn't result in anything going right. It results in nothing going anywhere. Now, if you start, when you first read it, it's like, okay. But then you start looking into it further. It's like, isn't this the way it is, guys? We put certain controls in our life so that we stop problems from happening. I don't care what your job is. I don't care what your situation is. Gentlemen, you have put certain controls in your life to ensure that bad things do not happen. 30 years ago, on August 2nd, I was at church. I was listening to a pastor. And I was standing next to this beautiful girl. And she happened to be dressed in white. Okay? And the pastor was asking me some questions, and he said, David, will you forsake all others and keep yourself only for her? And he was referring to this woman standing next to me, all dressed in white, who happened to be my first wife. And I'm still married to her. So she is my first. All right, she's my only. But the question then comes, sorry, Lexi, you know, it's tough being a kid, you know, when your dad's up doing this kind of stuff. So hang in there, kiddo. But he was asking a very, very specific question. Are you willing to forsake every other person and give yourself totally towards this to this woman? Now, can you imagine what she'd have done if I'd have said, oh man, let me think about that. I don't know. You think? Whack. You wouldn't have been here, kiddo. But you see, there are things there that we make promises, and so we put controls in. Now, I travel quite a bit, and I have certain boundaries, and I have certain controls that I have put in my life in order to ensure that I keep that promise. Guys, we all do this. All right, and since we have a mixed audience of ladies, I'm not going to go into details with you, but you guys, you know what I'm talking about. We have to set certain boundaries. We have to have certain controls in our life to ensure that we do not cross those boundaries, that we do not do the things that we have promised that we won't do. So we have controls that we have put in our lives. All right, and when we neglect those controls, we get in trouble. Now, there are instances where people neglect certain controls. This happens to be a Glock 19. How many of you know what a Glock 19 is? My daughter's holding her hands like this. All right. How many of you have shot a Glock 19 9mm? All right. How many of you right now are thinking, wow, I'd like to get out today and shoot that gun? All right. Look, this gun is fun. All right. I'm telling you, I've shot this gun. Okay? We have one in the house. All right? It's not because it's my gun. All right? It started off as being Josh Binkley's gun. All right? Josh decided he was going to sell it, so he sold it to my son. And so my son brings this awesome gun home. But you know what? I'm scared of pistols. Now, I used to shoot competitively, not in any like Olympic, you know, nothing that competitive, but a bunch of guys, we'd get together and we would shoot competitively. We had a league there. And so I enjoy pistols, but I have a great respect for them. So I said to Ryan, we have to have some controls on this gun. All right. First of all, whenever that gun's in the house, no bullets can be with that gun. The bullets, the ammunition have to be somewhere different. That's reasonable, Jeremy. That is absolutely reasonable. Put the shells here, put the gun there. All right? Whenever you bring it in, make sure it is unloaded. That's reasonable. I think that's pretty good. Matter of fact, when you store the gun, Ryan, I want you to make sure that it is open. Don't even store it closed. Let it be open. All right? And put a cable through it, through the receiver, and lock it, so that if someone else gets the gun, they cannot put a bullet in and use it because it is locked. And Ryan, never, 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 never think that that gun is unloaded unless you've checked it, and never put your finger on the trigger unless you plan to shoot. This is reasonable, isn't it? I don't know if you can see this. This is an x-ray of my son's leg. Now, this right here, it just happened to be because I didn't take the flash off the camera. I was taking a picture of it. But right there, I don't know if you can see it very well, but that is a shattered tibia. Because fibia is the big one, right? Is that right, Dave? I got it right? So you got a fibia and a tibia. And right there is part of the casing from a 9mm shell. It was Labor Day weekend. We were up north, and we were with Julie's mom, and we were coming back on Sunday because we thought we don't want to deal with the Monday traffic. So we're coming back on Sunday, and we get pretty much in our neighborhood, and Lexi gets a text from a girl across the street from us, and, you know, what's going on at your house type thing, or, you know, and, like, you know, where are you? We're in the car, whatever. But before that girl could actually say anything more, we pull into our cul-de-sac, and here are two police cars and an ambulance. All right? It's like, oh, no, and they're at my house. Okay? Now, you got to understand that sometimes we go away, and Ryan hurts himself. All right? It's just... You can ask Lexi more on the details on that. But, oh no, what is going on? And so I get out of the car, and this police officer, you know, I say, what's going on? He says, do you live here? Yes, this is my house. I'm David. He says, oh, well, good. Well, your son's okay, but just want you to know he accidentally shot himself in the leg. But he's going to be okay. And so he is in the ambulance, and he's like, Dad, I'm sorry, yeah. He knew that he'd crossed the control boundary. He messed up. All right? Now, there were some reasons for this. But ultimately, he didn't check that gun again. Because, see, someone else left a bullet in there. All right? And they thought it was empty, and he thought it was empty, and it wasn't stored the way it was, and he was going to take it apart to clean it because he was thinking about selling it. You know, this is what I don't understand. Before he shoots himself, he's thinking about selling the gun. Now he shoots himself. Now he wants to keep the gun. All right, so, guys, this is getting to be an awful long introduction. Okay, I'll get to it. But there were controls that were put in place and that he neglected, and he got hurt. All right? He got hurt. Now, he's doing fine. The last doctor's appointment, just a couple days ago, they released him, said, it's fine, the bone is healing, it's encapsulating itself, you know. But he's got this really cool scar on both sides, one where the bullet went in, one where the bullet came out, you know. And so, you know, that's pretty cool. It was a lot of pain, and I guarantee you now that he will never pick this gun up again without checking to make sure that it is not loaded. And for those of you who are thinking, I know some of you are thinking, wow, what kind of bullet was it? It was not a hollow point. It was just a target load. So, in, out, lost a little bit of the casing. He's a very fortunate young man. He's walking with a limp right now, but that's going to go away and he's going to be fine. But those were the controls, you see. And every one of those controls failed at that point. But if we are going to be in our lives and as godly men, guys, we got to have more than control. Because you see, now Ryan could keep that gun and he could keep it locked up just the way it is and make sure it's unloaded and keep it in the case and the ammunition away from the gun. But if he never takes it out and becomes proactive with it, he will never become a better marksman. And it's the same way in our lives, gentlemen. Now, ladies, you get to listen in on this sermon. You just make sure you're here next week. But guys, for you, there are certain things that we have to have controls in our life, but we have to also be proactive in other areas. And if all we have are controls in our life, we will never amount to what God wants for us. Because we've got to be proactive in this life. This passage right here, matter of fact, let me just... This is a passage that we're going to key in on, but I want to read for you in Genesis chapter 2, if you'd like to take your Bibles, because I'm going to read a little bit more than what's up there. But guys, you know, as I was studying this, I realized something. Chuck, now listen, Chuck, I know that some people might look at you and say, you know, you're the perfect father and the perfect husband, all right? Amen. Okay. But there has literally never been in the history of the world a perfect father and a perfect husband. All right? Never has been. Okay? Someone might say that Adam was the perfect husband because he had Eve before the fall, but boy, he sure blew it, didn't he? You know what I'm saying? And Jesus was the perfect man, but the perfect man chose never to get married and never to have kids. I don't know what that says, but you see, he was the perfect man, but we can't even look at Jesus as an example of being the perfect father or the perfect husband because he never was. He was the perfect man. Does it make sense? Jim, you're kind of looking at me like, okay, I'm getting this. We'll forget that rabbit trail. But the point, we're going to read a passage here about the creation of man. We have an example of Jesus Christ as the perfect man. But we don't have an example of the perfect father. We got examples of good fathers, but never perfect. Guys, I want you to remember this. You are never, ever going to be a perfect husband. You are never, ever going to be a perfect father. But guys, we can be a lot more than what we are now. All right? We can be a lot better men. So let's look at this in Genesis chapter 2. I'm going to start reading verse 7. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. It says, "Then the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature. And the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God made to spring up every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." Now the next few verses talk about where it was, but I'd like for you to look at verse 15 now. Verse 15 says, "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, 'You may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die.' Then the Lord God said, 'It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper for him.' So out of the ground the Lord formed every beast and every field and of all the field." And he goes on to talk about how he put all these animals and brought them to man, but no helper for Adam was to be found. Then it goes in verse 21, it says, "So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man. And while he slept, he took one of his ribs and closed up the place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. And then the man said, 'Wow!'" Now, I know that's not what the passage says, but that's what he said. I know it. He was amazed. He was stunned. Guys, you remember. "This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and they'll become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked, and they're not ashamed." Let's just pause for a minute to ask God's blessing. Heavenly Father, as we now begin to look into your word, Father, help us to see what you want us to see, especially about godly manhood. Help us to keep alert and attentive, for we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, guys, we've read the passage, and we're going to focus in on these verses in a minute. But in your bulletins, now, I was afraid that we wouldn't be able to see this very well. You wouldn't be able to read it. So in your bulletins, you will find a sheet there that you can look at. Now, guys, if you did not get one of these, there's probably still some left back there in the back on the way out. They can pick one up. Wait, how many of you guys did not receive one of these? Anyone need one? Because Mike can get... All right, we got a few. Hey, Mike, can you go get a few of those? And then when Mike comes in, I'm just going to keep going. And when Mike comes in, you raise your hand, get his attention, and he'll give you one of these. Okay, thank everyone else. Now Mike will go out there and do this for nothing. all right, if you need one, Mike's got some there. Raise your hand and get his attention. All right, but here you see diagram here about godly manhood, biblical manhood. And notice the roof of this. It has marriage, family, church, community, and nation there. The point here is that the Bible talks about four columns that we have in our life. Four-ish things that we have in our life that hold this up. Now, guys, you look around the world today and you just listen to the news and you see what's happening, and you can always come back to this. If there's a problem in marriages, or if there's a problem in family, if there's a problem in our church, if there's a problem in our community, or if there's a problem in our nation, it usually stems back to people who are not doing what God has commanded them to do. Now, we're going to very specifically focus in on the men today, but there are things that we, if we do not do, gentlemen, our marriages are going to suffer. If there are there are things that if we do not understand properly, our families are going to suffer. If we are not fulfilling this mandate that God has given us with these four pillars, these four columns here, our church is going to suffer, our community is going to suffer, and our nation is going to suffer. And we're seeing it every night on the nightly news where we're having these problems and we're having these issues in our own personal lives and in the lives of others around us because people have not followed the biblical mandates. And guys, for you, there are four columns that the Bible talks about that deal with biblical or godly manhood. Now, we're going back to Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, and the verse 15 says, "And the Lord God took the man and placed him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to watch over it." Now notice, God provided for the man. Now, I'm just going to say man here at this point because Eve's not in the picture, but you got to understand that in God's mind, He knew that Eve was coming. All right? So not only was He providing for Adam, but He was also providing for Eve. He was providing for their family. He was providing for all of mankind. God provided a garden. And God placed the man in it. So here, God was using he was being the king. He was using his own king pillar. God was, and He provided. Now notice, you look on your thing, you'll see where it says provide here. And He gave vision. And so what God did for Adam, God provided for Adam, and God gave a vision to Adam, but Adam was also created in the image and the likeness of God. And so, gentlemen, each one of us have a pillar in our life, and it is called the king pillar. God wants you to be the king. Now, don't smile too big, guys, yet, about being king. All right? Because this king is to serve. You notice, you can see how these things can get out of line and out of balance. The point is, your family, your nation, your church will all be in trouble if you get out of balance. You ever gone on out in the country and you see this building and it's leaning over and you're wondering how it's even going to stand? Pretty soon you go back and maybe it has fallen. The pillars, the columns, the supports that are holding it up have started to shift. Guys, we have been commanded by God to be kings. My son's name is Ryan. You guys know him, and he works at Home Depot now, and so he always works on Sunday morning. So he doesn't get to come to church here with me. But Ryan, when he was growing up, he was a tough kid. All right, I mean tough. I mean he was strong. And sometimes he could be a little bit of a bully. Not bad. But gentlemen, you know when you see your kids starting to be a bully, you're saying, wait a second, that's not the way that you're supposed to be living your life. Well, his name means little king. And so I would always go to him and I'd say, now I have to talk like this, but I would always talk and say, Ryan, don't you understand that you are a little king? That's your name. You are Ryan. You are a little king. You're a little prince. You need to act like a king. You need to be a good king. He took this to heart. Amazing. All right? But we've all been given a king pillar. And God put Adam in the garden to work the garden and to take care of it. We have been given the ability and we have been given the desire to provide. Now we come to the next one. And we're going to go back and look at just a little bit more of this later. But the next verse we want to key in on is verse 17. It says, "But you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for on the day that you eat from it, you will certainly die." And I tell you what, guys, if you want to bring out some emotion within you, you have somebody threaten you. Let someone threaten you. It brings out the warrior in you. Brings out the warrior. But we don't want to be off balance. If we're off balance, we become a coward or we become a brute. Guys, we need to be balanced in this. And God was protecting Adam. He said, look, don't eat of this tree. Don't do it. He was warning him. He was protecting him. But he also had the thought that he knew Eve was coming, and he knew Adam was going to have to protect Eve also. And so here we see a warrior column, and our job is to protect. God was protecting us. It is our job as men to protect our families, our marriages, our nation, all of those things up there. It's our job as men to do this. It was God demonstrating this to us and then giving us that responsibility. So we have another pillar in our life. It's called the warrior pillar. Now we come and just look at verse... I think I hit the wrong one. Hang on. There we go. Now if you put verses 16 and 17 together, add in there, and the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any of the trees of the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for on that day you'll surely die. All right? Notice what God was doing. God was teaching the man. He was teaching the man at this point, and that relates to our column of mentor. Notice our issue here is to teach. But we want to make sure we're in balance so that what we're teaching is wisdom. Everybody teaches something. A lot of the things that people are teaching today are not based on wisdom at all. They're not based on God's wisdom at all. They're based on human wisdom. They're based on human ideas. And they lead to problems. They lead to things becoming out of balance. They lead to the destruction of our marriages and our families and our communities. This is not what God has called us to. Now we look at the next one, verse 18, says, then the Lord God said, it's not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper for him. This relates directly to the friend column, the friend pillar. And we have a need to connect. God wanted to connect with us. God knew that we needed to connect with other people. We need to connect with our wives. We need to connect with our children. We need to connect with our fellow workers. We need to connect with our community leaders. We have a need to connect, and God wants us to have be a friend, but the result is love. We're connecting for love. If we get out of balance here, we'll become a loner or we'll become a smotherer, and that's not what God has called us to. And so guys, this is an outline here of this. You see them all there. Just look at your sheet again. Let's just remind ourselves of this. Four issues that God has said that are in our lives. Four columns. They're based in God. They are given to us by the nature of the creation being formed in the image and likeness of man. God is a king. And He wants to provide for us and give us vision. And He has said to you men, you need to be kings. I don't want you to be tyrants, and I don't want you to be abdicators. That's what we can do. We can go one way or another. But if we are abdicating our responsibilities, then we're in trouble. If we are becoming tyrants and demanding our own way, this is selfishness. This is not in balance. We are not able to give proper vision. He's also said, I want you to be a warrior. You know, whenever we have our veterans come home or we see our guys, especially when I'm flying around the country and some of our soldiers get on the plane in uniform, you know what happens a lot? The plane just starts clapping. And so if I'm sitting on the plane and I hear some clapping up front and it starts in first class, and then it gets back to where I am in the back of the plane, I know that if I look around, I'm going to probably see one of our uniformed soldiers. Because they are looking at that and they are honoring warrior, the warrior. But guys, in society today, the world wants to take this away from us a lot of times. And what God is saying is you have got to protect your marriages, your families, your churches, your community, and your nation. You need to be a warrior, and you need to do it in strength. You also need to be a mentor. You need to teach. You don't want to be a know-it-all, and you don't want to be a dunce. That's opposite. That's leaning. That does not support the building. So if you're going to support your marriage, family, church, community, and nation, you need to be a mentor. You need to be teaching, and it needs to be based on wisdom. And then finally, the friend. You need to connect, and it's the basis of love. You need to love your family. You need to connect with them. You need to love your church. You got the idea. All right? Now, on the back of that sheet, you'll see it'll talk about the pillar. And guys, you can take this home and you can look through it. It'll remind you of the verses. It'll tell you even what the world says. For example, in the King over there, in the secular historical perspective, it says the energy of just and creative ordering. Even the world sees that these are important. They understand this. But if we don't have this imbalance in our life, then we're going to have disorder, chaos, family dysfunction, oppression, and we are going to have a failure to lead. When we do not have a proper balance in the issue of our King pillar, then we have a failure to lead. If we don't have proper balance in our Warrior pillar, we have a failure to contend. If we don't have proper balance in our Mentor, then we have a failure to pass the baton. If we're not right in the Friend pillar, we have a failure to connect. This is not what we want. This is not what God wants for us. God wants us to succeed. Now, there's a lot of times, guys, when we sit down and, you know, we wake up in the morning and we go through whatever our routine is, but we'll get up and we'll get into the bathroom and we have a certain routine in the bathroom getting ready for work. We get in our cars. We drive the same way to go to work every day. Now, some of you have jobs that are different than this, and not all of this will apply, but you know what I'm talking about. You have a routine. So you go to work. You know what's going to be expected of you, and you're going to get your job done, and you're waiting for lunch to take a break, and then you're going to go home in the evening. And you get home in the evening, and you typically have a routine there, and you go through that routine. Now it's time to go to bed, and you've done your routine because it's worked for you, but every once in a while you lay down in bed and you start thinking, what is this all about? Am I fulfilling my purpose as a godly man? Am I fulfilling my purpose? And a lot of times, for me, am I fulfilling my purpose? There comes a little fear in my heart. Wow. I'm not. Now, God doesn't want us to live in fear. God wants us to have victory here. Guys, God wants you to live a godly life. He wants you to understand biblical manhood. He wants you to succeed in these four pillars of your life. He set it up from the very beginning in creation, and you can go through the Scriptures, and all through the Scriptures you'll see example after example after example of how God is building this up in men. Yet a lot of times men, we might just be responding, we might just put certain controls in our life, and we never become aggressive in following after God. Now, ladies, next week, you get your week, but there's same thing for you. Are you fulfilling God's plan for you? Are you being the woman that God has called? Sometimes I'm thinking you probably lay there and think, man, maybe I'm not. But God wants you to succeed. It says, God wants us to uphold our families. God wants us to uphold our marriages. God wants us to uphold our church. You know, churches have all kinds of problems when people abdicate their spiritual gifts and their service to God. And so, guys, how do we bring this down? This is a huge overview. So what do we say about this? Well, first of all, I want to take you to the... By the way, Kevin... I told Kevin this already, but yesterday when we were having our men's breakfast, and he was giving a little devotional thought there, he came down to some applications, and I went, oh my goodness, he's saying the exact same things that I was going to say today. And I'm thinking, wow, the guys that were at the breakfast, they're going to think I just stole this from Kevin. But then I started thinking, you know what, Kevin? I think you and I are thinking on the same lines when it comes to biblical manhood and what we need to be doing as a church. But the first thing I want to say to you gentlemen is this, that if we are going to be the men that God has called us to be, and by the way, He wants us to succeed. It's not like He's holding back from us and saying, I'm going to give it to you if you work really hard. He wants to pour out upon you the ability to do this. If we're going to do that, we've got to make some promises in our lives, and there are certain things that we must do. Notice, now this is the wheel from the Navigators. For any of you who've been discipled under Navigators, you'll recognize this. But it's the obedient Christian in action. So guys, you can just say the obedient man in action. And notice here, Jesus Christ is at the very center. If Jesus Christ is not at the very center of our lives, we are in trouble. And so guys, I just want to encourage you, every morning when you wake up, you've got to get it in your routine where you're saying to God, God, today, Jesus is the very center of my life. And you've got to remind yourself, because that makes you a living sacrifice. And you know the old saying, the trouble with a living sacrifice is it keeps crawling down off the altar. That's why they killed them. They wouldn't crawl... You kill a sacrifice, it stays there. But a living sacrifice that God has called us to be, we keep crawling down off God's altar. We keep going our own way. We've got to come back to this all the time where Jesus Christ is the very center. And then we have the spokes. You got the spoke going up. That's you talking to God. If it's not part of your habit to be in prayer to God, you need to make that part of your habit. If you're not this spoke coming down, that's the Word. If that's not part of your daily routine being in the Word, you need to do this, because this is that vertical relationship between you and God. And if you're going to be a godly man, you need to have this. But there's also a horizontal relationship. Fellowship. Now I'm preaching to the choir because you are here, but there's a lot of Christians out there who have accepted Jesus Christ, but church is not an issue to them. They don't care. They're not coming. You cannot fulfill what God wants for you if the church is not a part of that. You got to have fellowship. And then there's also the witnessing. And of course, me being the evangelism director, I want to talk about that. You know, everyone should be out sharing their faith. But there's more to witnessing than that. The world needs to see that you are living the way that they know that you're supposed to. You need to be a witness to them, and you also need to be able to speak to them. But if we're going to be obedient men, guys, I call you to come back to this. And most of this you know. But the other thing that I need to call us to is, and what Kevin was saying yesterday, is getting in a small group. Now this, I just put up men's fraternity here. This just happens to be a program, a teaching that goes on. I don't know if this is what we need, but guys, listen, I need something from you. All right? There are times where people look at me and say, oh, well, you're a minister. You got it figured out. No, I don't. I do not. All right? They say, well, you work at the MWBC. And if no, I don't have it figured out. Okay? We need each other. And I don't know how it's going to look, because we're going to have to talk with Kevin. We're going to have to talk with the rest of the staff. We're going to have to talk with the deacons. We're going to have to talk with the CMT. But we've got to figure out, guys, a way that we get together as men where we learn about these biblical principles and we encourage one another to put them into practice. We have got to do this. This is just one way. I don't know about you, but I guarantee you that if we started something and Kevin said, all right, we're going to do this on Saturday mornings and we're going to meet at the church at 6:00, I'd swallow hard, but I would be here for something like this at 6 a.m. Then I know we go for an hour or so and then we go home and we're able to do the other things. I would do it because I need you guys. There are some things that I'm strong in. Let's say there's 10 things that we need to be strong in. And Pastor Kevin is real good with number 1. All right? Chuck Herman is real good with number 2. Jeremy has got 3, 4, and 5 all figured out. Okay? I've got 6. You've got 7. You've got 8. You've got 9. You've got 10. Look, we get together. We learn and we encourage. Guys, if our marriages are going to be what God has called us, what God wants it to be. If our families are going to be what God has called them to be, if our church and our nation, our community, if those things are going to be what God wants them to be, it's going to rely on us standing firm in the victory that God wants to give to us and understanding those four pillars in our life, learning how to use them, and not just learning how to put up controls around it, but actually to be proactive in this, and we need each other. Now, I don't know what's going to happen. I really don't. But I'm committed to talking to his staff, committed to being involved in this myself. I hope that this sparks something in you where you're saying, you know what? There's certain things I never even realized. And I know I haven't answered hardly any of the questions. But guys, the answers are there. And we need to find them together. And so I'm hoping as a church that we will have a men's ministry here, not just one that gets together and has some fun. Now, I'm not opposed to eating good breakfast, and I'm not opposed to having fun. I like that too. But I want a group where we can encourage one another in such a way that when we have problems, we can talk, we know who to go to, we can have people praying for us, people supporting us, so we can be the men that God has called us to be. I don't know if this is sparking anything in your heart. I hope it is. We're going to see what goes on. We're going to see what happens. But I will commit myself to that. Will you? Heavenly Father, I am so thankful for our church. I'm thankful for the men who are in it. Father, I am so thankful that you believe in us. And you have put within us abilities and desires, and you have a purpose for us. Now, Father, each one of us would agree that we haven't lived up to that. Some of us have done better in some areas than others. But Father, we need to grow. We need to know what to do. And Father, we want to be your men. We want to live godly lives. We want to live it according to biblical principles. And now, Father, all I can ask is that your Holy Spirit, who dwells in those who have accepted Jesus Christ by faith and trust, Father, that your Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts. Show us, Father, the weaknesses that we have. Father, also show us the strengths and help us to realize that we can teach those to other people. But Father, help us to do whatever we need to do in order to be your men. And Father, as we go to this time of invitation, I pray you'd speak to our hearts. We love you, Father. And we want to be your men. And we want to be the men that you've called us to be. And Father, we do not want to blow it. Because Father, we want to be able to stand before you someday and have you look down at us and through the forgiveness of Jesus Christ say to us, well done, good and faithful servant. Father, that's what we want. And Father, speak to our hearts during this invitation time. In Jesus' name, amen. We are going to have... Maybe there's someone who just needs to accept Jesus Christ. You've heard this, but the Holy Spirit's been working on your heart in a whole different way. And you know that today's the day you need to come forward. You need to say, I need to accept Jesus Christ. I've been living my life the way I long enough. I need Jesus Christ. Maybe you just need to come forward and have some prayer. And rededicate your life. But gentlemen, I want to also just offer you this. I want to offer you the altar. Maybe God's put something on your heart and you know you need to do business with Him, but you want to do it in a way that's just a little bit stronger than just standing there in your pew and saying, Lord, help me. And you just want to make a statement to God. The altar's open. You can just come up here, you can kneel, or you can just stand and you can pray. If you want to talk to me or talk to Pastor Kevin, we'll be available. But guys, this is time. It's time. We got to do business with God. Our families, our marriages, our church, our community, our nation depends on us to be the men that God has called us to be. Whatever business that God is putting on your heart, if He's saying to you, you got to do something, do business with God right now. And I want to show you this last picture. Well, we lost it. That's okay. Can you get back to that one? See that? That guy in the middle, he's a pastor. And those five guys around him are his sons. And they're all in the ministry. And it's like, wow. What a legacy that he has. Because he's passed on godly principles. We can pass those on to others too. Jeremy.
Let's stand. And if you're a woman here today, pray for those men around you. And if you're a man, pray that God...